Today I want to continue sharing with you from the book Lycos. Amen. Lycos, like we mentioned from the beginning, means ordinary people. Amen. It means regular people. It means everyday people. It means regular, not so special members of the church. Amen. And we're talking about the involvement of regular people in the work of God in order to build the church or build his house. Amen. Now, lay people, lay pastors, lay volunteers, lay ordinary people, lay every type of person. Hallelujah. Amen. Right? Anyone can be anything in the house of God. Amen. Amen. Anyone can help in the house of God. Now, I want you to go to chapter 4 of the book. I mean, I hope you brought your book. If you didn't bring it, or you don't have one, if you just put up your hand, someone will pass one to you. Right. So we're studying this as the subject. Amen. Amen. All right. So number one, lay ministry will greatly enhance the work of church planting. We're talking seven things you must know about the lay ministry. This is chapter 4. Number one, the lay ministry will greatly enhance the work of church planting. That means involving lay people or ordinary people will greatly enhance the work of church planting. Amen. See, it says one of the greatest keys to extensive church planting is the lay ministry. The lay ministry is the sacrifice of pastors and evangelists who labor without being paid for their services. The enormity of the work is such that without the strategy of lay ministry, very few churches will be planted. Amen. Now, what I want to say is that the work of God cannot be restricted only to professionals, as in people who have gone to Bible school to train to be pastors or to be professional workers for God. Hallelujah. If you were God and you had a whole world to save, you would not leave it on the shoulders of some professional people. Do you see? Or a handful of professionals, people who have gone to school to learn how to do the work of God. You're going to involve a lot more people. Amen. Amen. Anytime the work is a lot, anytime the task is enormous, we involve lots and lots of people. Hallelujah. Amen. You need to involve lots and lots of people. Amen. Amen. As we get closer and closer to the elections, I see that the candidates are now shifting their focus to involving a lot of people because they know the power of the ordinary person. You see that it's not just that you have good policies or that you have good plans, but you need the people. Hallelujah. The people need to get out and vote. The people need to go. Ordinary people. So they are mobilizing people, begging people, enticing them, saying all kinds of things, and just trying to get people involved. Because at this stage, the number of people will make a big difference. Are you getting it? So ministry also, God wants more people to be involved. It is a lie from the devil that it is just pastors God wants pastors to preach and the members to just listen. It is a devil's lie to keep the church dormant, to sort of slow down the pace of acceleration of the work of God, so that not so much is done in the end for God. Hallelujah. But if we do not have lay people, you take our church, for example. You see, our church is in many places, more than 80 countries, and we have about, I think it's more than, how many pastors were we counting the other day? Lay pastors, people who are just lay pastors. Yes. About 2,000 people involved. Right. Now, only about 10 to 15, maybe tops 20% of that number are full-time pastors. Most of the pastors are lay people, ordinary people, businessmen, doctors, lawyers, nurses, school teachers, carpenters, drivers, translators, accountants, electricians. What do people do? Politicians. Huh? Teachers. Nursery school teachers. Huh? What else do people... Computer scientists? Huh?
Lawyers.
Programmers. Chefs. Yeah? Chefs. Military people. Uber drivers. What else do people do? Ordinary people. HR managers. Bank managers. Yeah? Yeah. Bank teller workers. Yeah? Landscape. Because I just remembered one person. He's a landscape person. He makes the lawn and so on for people. Yeah? Yeah. Swimming pool technicians. Yes? Yes? Farmers. Yeah. Even fishermen. Fishermen. Yeah. That's right. That is the only way you're going to have 2,000 people preaching on Sunday morning. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. Not 2,000 people attending. I mean 2,000 people preaching. That means 2,000 people serving the word of God. Hallelujah. Now imagine if you have 2,000 servers. You know that a lot of food is going to be served. Isn't it? More people will be fed. More people will be reached. More people will be ministered to. Which must be God's plan. It must be God's plan to want more people to be reached. Because the price of salvation for God, to God, is not cheap. Do you see what I'm saying? It's not cheap. It cost him his only begotten son. Have you ever wondered why the expression only begotten son? Why not just son? I think God wants us to understand something. What do you think? Because it wouldn't make a difference in a certain sense to say that God sent his son, Jesus, to die for us. But the scripture says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. It says, so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He's trying to tell us something. That the price of salvation is high. And once he has paid it, then he would like to recruit as many people as possible to get involved in the work of propagating that gospel and sending that good news around. Hallelujah. Amen. So it is a lie of the devil. I tell you, the devil knows if you can reduce the number of servers, you reduce the amount of food that is served. you can reduce the number of people who are dishing out the food, you reduce how much can be served over a certain period of time. And so he keeps people believing the lie that you don't have to get involved. You don't have to be this or that. I mean, you're a businessman. Yours is business. Some people choose to be preachers. Leave them to preach. So that the businessman does his business and the preacher does his preaching and everybody is in their lane. It's a lie from the devil. I said it's a lie from the devil. Hallelujah. If we do not involve lay people, the work of planting churches will be severely limited. There will be only few churches. But God wants there to be lots of churches. The darkness in this world calls for more light.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
The kind of darkness that is in this world calls for more light. We need more light. Yeah. See, one bulb. And you see how the bulbs are placed right next to the other.
That's right.
Right next to the other. Right next to the other. That's what we need. No one should say that there are enough churches or that there's a church there already. There shouldn't be anything like that. Right next to the church, there must be another church.
Right.
Yeah. Because nobody said when they put this bulb next to the other that there was one there already. Rather, it is the design so that the place can be well lit and darkness can be effectively overcome.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Amen. God wants to overcome darkness effectively. Hallelujah. And that is why he is helping us to understand this message. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Look at page 22. It says, dear friend, most of the ripened harvest fields are in the poor regions of the world. How will the poor people of the earth be reached in their poverty? Most of these people cannot pay for the services of good pastors and evangelists. The ministry of unpaid pastors and evangelists is the key to continued church planting. Where the sacrificial nature of Christianity is compromised, church planting comes to an end. The church was born on the sacrifice of Christ. The church grew through the sacrifice of the apostles. Once again, the church will only expand through sacrifice.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Paul left Athens and went to Corinth, where he met Aquila, a Jewish man from Pontus. Not long before this, Aquila had come from Italy with his wife Priscilla because Emperor Claudius had ordered the Jewish people to leave Rome. Paul went to see Aquila and Priscilla and found out that they were tent makers. Paul was a tent maker too. So he stayed with them and they worked together. Can you see that? I mean, this is the Apostle Paul. So the Apostle Paul had a business. Can you see that? Yeah, that he was actually working. The point I'm making is the fact that you have an interest or passion for something else doesn't mean that you can push or should push God's work aside and think or assume that it is for some special people to do the work of God and yours is just to pursue business. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. So this is Paul. He went to stay with Priscilla and Aquila. Look at Acts chapter 18 and verse 4. Well, you can just read it right there. It's right there in your book. Every Sabbath. Everybody say every Sabbath.
Every Sabbath.
You see, it says, and he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks.
Wow.
So the tent maker, Monday to Friday, he was building tents. Then comes the Sabbath. On the Sabbath day, he would close his tent shop and tent factory, and then he would go into the synagogue and start reasoning with people. Do you think he was holding tent making seminars? He was preaching and teaching. Hallelujah. Amen. How many understand that? Yeah. So there's a point when you also have to put the work aside and go into the synagogue and help with the work of preaching and teaching and explaining the word of God to people. What do you think? Is it powerful? Right. Number two, it is possible to combine secular work with ministry. Hallelujah. Right? That we can combine the two and still work effectively for God. Say amen. Amen. Right? Number three, the best New Testament example of a lay pastor is the Apostle Paul. And the best Old Testament example is the prophet Daniel. Hallelujah. Now, this is what I want you to see today. How that the person we have always known in the Bible as Daniel. I'm sure everybody has heard about Daniel. Isn't it? Yeah. Even if you don't know the one in the Bible, you know this one right here. Yeah. Yes. So, by all means, everyone today knows a Daniel. Right. Now, this Daniel I'm talking about, I mean, the one in your book, right? He has a reputation among Christians to be a prophet, isn't it? But the prophetic gift of Daniel is only a spiritual gift or a spiritual office that God gave to him. It so happens that he walked in it so excellently that it becomes so prominent that it is difficult. You have to make the extra effort to see that Daniel was something else other than a prophet. Do you see what I'm saying? That in addition to being a prophet, that Daniel was something else. Because when you talk about Daniel, I think the most popular thing everyone knows about Daniel is the episode with the lions, isn't it? That Daniel was thrown into the lion's den. Do you see? And Daniel went into the lion's den. So everybody knows that Daniel was a prophet. He went into the lion's den. And the lions couldn't eat him up. I mean, he must have been very powerful. Must have been very, very anointed. I mean, that is so great. But when you start to understand the life of Daniel, you begin to see what God expects of ordinary people. Do you see what I'm saying? That the sort of power that was demonstrated before the lions is the sort of power that ordinary people in the house of God can demonstrate through their walk with God. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So Daniel had three jobs, it says here. Number one, he was a member of parliament for the Babylonian province. Daniel chapter 2 and verse 48, the Bible says, then the king made Daniel a great man and gave him many great gifts and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and the chief of the governors over all the wise men of Babylon. Now, this is not a church, isn't it? This is not a church appointment. When someone is made the chief of governors, he's not a cell leader. That's not the job that has been given him. Can you see that? The king made Daniel a great man and gave him many gifts and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and the chief of the governors over all the wise men of Babylon. So over the wise men would be the people that the king would consult with. These are the people that gave advice concerning how to run the government, how to run the province, and how to run the system. And Daniel was promoted to be their leader. Hallelujah. Now the second thing says Daniel was the second vice president to Belshazzar. Right? Daniel was the second vice president to Belshazzar. Daniel chapter 5 and verse 29 says, "Then commanded Belshazzar, and they clothed Daniel with scarlet and put a chain of gold about his neck and made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom." That is, the king is number one, someone else was number two, and then Daniel, the one you and I know as the prophet. You know, when you think of Daniel, you think of someone wearing prophet's clothing, isn't it? You think of him wearing a long gown or something like that with a staff. What? And a head scarf, some kind of head dressing of some sort. And then, well, being in the wilderness and seeing visions all day, isn't it? Yeah, and prophesying and speaking deep statements. You cannot even understand him when he speaks. Do you see? Yeah, that's how we feel about the prophets of old. I mean, when you think of Daniel as a prophet, and I ask you to name who you think would be his colleagues, then you will think of what? Ezekiel, Elijah, Jeremiah, Isaiah. I mean, all the people you don't understand. Habakkuk, isn't it? All these guys you don't understand, you will put Daniel in that category. Hallelujah. But according to the scripture, Daniel was someone who had a job. And actually the secular governments seemed to like this man very much. And they're always celebrating him, always giving him some position or other. They were always promoting him, always giving him some secular responsibility, even though he was a prophet. Hallelujah. I am helping you to understand this morning that regardless of what you do for a living, God is interested in you. God is interested in using you. And the fact that God is interested in you does not necessarily have to destroy whatever you're doing for yourself secularly. That is good news for a lot of people. It ought to be good news. Because many people are running away from God. Like, I used to be running away from God because I felt that if you get too close to God, He's going to make you a full-time preacher. And I didn't like the idea of being a full-time preacher. I didn't mind preaching occasionally. Once in a while, sharing the word of God with some people. Do you understand? Yeah. And also, you see, when you share the word of God with people as a non-preacher, then you don't have to talk for 40 minutes. You see what I'm saying? Even if it is short, it's okay. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. If I started preaching here and I stopped after 10 minutes or 5 minutes, most of you are going to say, "Oh, what's going on?" But if I invite Ini over here and I say, "Ini, share with us an exhortation today," and she opened her Bible and shared for 5 minutes and went back to sit down, you will actually be clapping for her. You'll be saying, "Wow." Yeah. And at the end of the service, you will be telling her, "Wow, you did so well." You'll be congratulating her for talking for 5 minutes. So you can understand how I preferred to be like Ini rather than to be this person. Do you see what I'm saying? Well, that has since changed. Hallelujah. Amen. Right now, I prefer to be this person. Wow. I prefer to be the one to talk to you for a long time. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So what I'm saying is that God is interested in ordinary people.
That's right.
God wants to use drivers the way he used Daniel. God wants to use accountants the way he used Daniel. God wants to use doctors the way he used Daniel. God wants to use computer scientists the way he used Daniel. He wants them to see visions. He wants them to have dreams. He wants them to have an understanding of world issues. From a spiritual perspective, to understand what is going on. God wants ordinary people to have a spiritual perspective on who should be winning the elections. Yeah. And not just be thinking ordinarily. Do you see what I'm saying? About who is building a wall or who is going to give immigration amnesty. God wants ordinary people to have spiritual understanding. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
The third job that Daniel had was that he was the prime minister during the rule of Darius. Now, when you read these things, you see that all these positions Daniel is holding, he's holding them in different regimes. The kings are different, and yet each one seems to like Daniel. Hallelujah. I see you being preferred.
Amen.
That no matter who the manager is, your lot just gets better and better at your job place. Do you believe it?
Yes.
Receive it in the name of Jesus. Yes. You will always be the preferred person. You know how sometimes they change the manager and then it changes everything for you? New manager comes, he comes with his own people, he has his own preferences, and then all the old people, suddenly their job is on the line. But that will not be your story in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. He says in Daniel chapter 6 and verse 1, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these, 3 presidents. Right? So this new king called Darius, his style was, listen, I'm going to divide the whole area into 120 different pieces. And then he decided to appoint a prince over each of these 120 places. And then over the 120 princes, he decided to have 3 presidents.
Wow.
Do you see? Of whom Daniel was first. That the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So once again, Daniel has another job. This time, he is the prime minister. He is the first of the 3 presidents of the 120 princes. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. If you knew Daniel, I tell you, in those days, I mean, you were really blessed. Yeah. If Daniel was alive at this time, he'll probably be one of the main campaigners. You'll be seeing him on television all the time. He'll be one of the main surrogates who speak to Anderson Cooper and all these other guys, and he'll be explaining the policies. Not scriptures, just a regular person. He wouldn't be preaching. Just be on the television and explain the policies and explain the tax cuts and all these things. That was the sort of person Daniel was. I'm helping you to understand that you have probably been deceived. That because you have a job in a restaurant, because you have a job at the hospital, because you have a job downtown, because you work in such and such a place, you must distance yourself from the work of God and leave it to some people, some special people, you know, that God has appointed, called priests and pastors. They are the only ones who must see visions. They are the only ones who must have dreams. They are the only ones who can pray for people. They are the only ones who can preach, teach, explain the word of God to ordinary people. It is for some people. And sometimes, as people have bought into that lie, it has become the foundation of unrighteous living. Because you haven't seen yourself as someone that God is expecting anything high from. It has felt okay to just hang around the fringes of Christianity and just to live a very low, base Christian life. Because after all, you're not the pastor. After all, you're not one of those main people in the church. You are just a member. So it's okay for you not to read your Bible. It's okay for you not to pray. It's okay for you to just indulge in immorality or to live just a very low-based Christian life because after all, you're not the pastor. The devil has used that to drug and to pull many Christians into a very low Christian life, which has led to many defeats. But God is changing that in the name of Jesus. So God is changing that in Jesus' name. Say amen. Yeah. Now, just read this a little bit. Verse 3. Verse 3 says, then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents. Can you see? So, apart from being the first of the presidents, the Bible says he was also the preferred president. Isn't it? Yeah. He was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king now was thinking about setting him over the whole realm. So Daniel is going even higher. Isn't it? Yeah. The king was now thinking about setting him. Said, this guy is really great. And now the king wants to make him the top guy in town. And in his government. And verse 4. Right? Then the presidents, of course, they'll be jealous. The presidents and the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. You know, but they could find none occasion or fault. This is the verse that explains why so many people are saying bad things about Donald Trump and bad things about Hillary. This is the verse because it is the nature of political opponents to find fault. Do you see? Yeah. To find some occasion or some reason to drop your ratings and to make you unpopular. Because as you can see, Daniel was the preferred choice. People seem to like him very much. So some people were going to see if they could dig into his past to see if by any chance there's any recording of him, Daniel talking about how he grabbed the butts of women or something like that, you know, that maybe you could find some tape somewhere, you know, or if Daniel had sent some emails somewhere, you know, checking out what service he was using for his emails, just to see if they can find some fault or occasion, you know. But they could find none. You see, because unlike Donald Trump and Hillary, he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. And that will be your story. Hallelujah. Amen. So verse 5, they decided, these men said, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. You see, I'm saying that it is possible to be just a regular person and yet be so serious and deep into God that the only way people can find something against you is to direct it towards your relationship with God. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. The people knew it. They said, well, if we go down the political path, it's not going to work. We will not find anything about Daniel and his history. So the Bible says they went into his relationship with God. It says, concerning the law of his God. Verse 6 says, then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus to him, King Darius, live forever. Because all political leaders have people who sing their praises. People who tell them they are winning even when they are losing. You get it? People who tell them, you know, you're doing well, the polls are in your favor. People who tell them, you know, everybody wants you, when it may even be the other way around. Right. So, he says, they said, live forever. In verse 7. All the presidents of the kingdom and the governors and the princes and counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. This is a proposal. Do you see that Congress has come together and they have made this a law? They want to pass this law. You get it? And they are proposing this to the king that, look, just for the next 30 days. This is Prop 67, right? Yeah. Prop 67. Yes. You see the thing? So now there's a Prop 67, and they're saying that Prop 67 is just, I mean, let's just put a moratorium on prayer. Nobody prays for 30 days to any god but the president. So for 30 days, you're going to be the god people consult. You're going to be the only one people pray to. And that was what they proposed. Because they knew that's what will get this Daniel. Daniel can't stay for 30 days without prayer, even though he's a politician. So you see how unlike Daniel we are, because we are not 30 days. I mean, we are multiples of 30 days without prayer. Think about it. When was the last time that you set some time aside just to sit there, even just to close your eyes and not even pray? Not even pray. Yeah, not even pray. Just to sit still and to close your eyes. The modern world is plagued with a new eye disease, which has nothing to do with, you know, eyeglasses or contacts. It's eyes that must see something all day. Eyes that must see a screen, by all means. Wake up in the morning, first thing, some screen. Last thing in the night, you must look at a screen. Eyes that must look at a screen. Every few minutes, you must check out some screen. Yeah. Eyes that must look at something all the time. That's a new disease. You get it? And unfortunately, this doesn't require an eye doctor. So they cannot help this disease. But the people knew it. Let's make this law. Some people argued it's a stupid law. It's no problem. It doesn't have to be a good law. Most important thing is the target. Yeah. You get it? Because anything you do, there will be people to vote for it. You get it? So, yeah, we just need a good campaign.
Yeah.
That's all we need. A good campaign will secure some votes. Yeah. So Prop 67, no prayer for 30 days. And sadly, some of us have already voted for Prop 67. No prayer for 30 days. No prayer for 6 weeks. No prayer for 3 months. No prayer for a year. No, I'm challenging you. When is the last time that you sat down, just you, just to sit there? Say, I want to pray. Pray about my future. Pray about my life. Pray about my business. Pray about anything. Just anything. I'm sure some of Daniel's prayers, not all his prayers were about the church.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You get it? I mean, if you're a politician like Daniel, I'm sure you have other things to pray about. You see what I'm saying? Yeah, I'm sure you have so many things to pray about. So anyway, let me just wrap up. So, verse 8 says, now king, establish the decree and signing that it be not changed, right? According to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Right? That is, set it in stone so that it cannot change. This one is going to enter the constitution, and then that is it. That's subject to zero amendments. You cannot, this is not one of the things you can amend. Okay. It will just expire on its own after 30 days. Yes. Right? So, next one. Wherefore, King Darius signed the decree and the writing. Right? And verse 10. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times and a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime.
Wow.
And God wants you to know that Daniel wasn't doing this because he wasn't aware of what had happened. And he says that Daniel prayed aforetime before this proposition 67 came up. Daniel used to pray 3 times a day as a prime minister. He used to pray 3 times a day as a governor. He used to pray 3 times a day as one of the princes. He used to pray 3 times a day as a politician. No matter how heavy the campaign schedule got, Daniel would still pray 3 times a day. So how many times a day do you pray as a computer programmer?
My God.
How many times a day do you pray as an Uber driver? How many times a day do you pray as a doctor or as a nurse or even as a student? All the excuses we have for being prayerless are being debunked by one of the busiest persons who ever lived. And Daniel is showing us that you can pray. That no matter how busy you are, you can pray. That no matter how busy you are, you can be spiritual. That no matter how busy you are, you can join the prayer lines. No matter how busy you are, you can get involved with the work of God. You can actually be connected to God in a more committed and serious way, no matter what you do for a living. That it is not that because you're getting closer to God, you have to distance yourself from what you do for a living. No. It's a lie from the devil. Hallelujah. If you look at the next point in the book, it says that sometimes it's the will of God for some people to work as volunteers. And it is also the will of God for some people to work as full-time people. Do you understand? But whichever way it goes with you, what God expects of you in terms of your contribution to his work remains the same. God still sees in you someone who can contribute effectively to his work. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. Someone who can contribute effectively. You can do something. You can be the one who prays for the church. You can be the one who prays for first time visitors in the church. Yeah. Every week we have new people visiting us. We need people to pray for them. Yeah. We need people to pray for them. We need people to pray for people. Yeah. I tell you, what a blessing it is when someone calls just to pray with you. How comforting it is when someone calls and says, I just want to pray with you. Wow. Hallelujah. Amen. This morning I called someone I hardly know. And the person told me they were going to court and so on tomorrow. And so they had traveled somewhere else to get ready. And I just felt I should pray with the person. And I prayed with the person. Right after that, she sent me a text. And she said, Pastor, I really needed that call and that prayer. But I was just thinking, who says that call must always come from a pastor? Do you understand what I'm saying? Who says that call must always come from a pastor? Who says it is only a pastor who can call someone who is going to court and pray with them? Who says it's only a pastor who can call someone who is attending an interview and pray with them? Who says it's only a pastor who can call someone who is sick and pray with them? Ordinary people can also do that. Otherwise, God knows he's not going to get much prayer going around. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
So the message today is that ordinary people, lay people, can follow the example of Daniel and can follow the example of Paul.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You see, in Paul's case, it's like the effort has to be made to show us his secular side.
That's right.
Do you understand? That because you think of Paul so much as a spiritual person, God has to make extra effort for you to see this other side of him. Hallelujah. I pray that all of us will have that understanding.
Amen.
Say amen.
Amen.
That all of us will appreciate that God wants to help us. God wants to help us. God wants to favor us. God wants to bless us. But that we as ordinary and lay people can be involved with the work of God. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Stand to your feet and let's bring the service to a close. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Are you blessed today?
Yes.
Right. Amen.
Amen.
I can just, while you're standing, if you just take your book, just read the last 3 points. And before we pray, sometimes, that's number 4, sometimes it is the will of God for you to be a volunteer, and sometimes it is the will of God for you to be in full-time ministry. Can you see that? Right? Number 5, lay pastors and volunteers will become prominent in the last days. Hallelujah. They will become prominent in the last days. You know, I love this number 5 because, as you see, it says, Paul's ministry lives on today. The best way some people can help in the ministry is to be like Paul. Secular work during the week and then reasoning in the synagogue with the Jews on the Sabbath day. Hallelujah. Yeah. Performing coding all week. And then reasoning in the synagogue on the Sabbath. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah? Looking after patients all week and then teaching children on the Sabbath day. Do you understand? Yeah. Crunching numbers all week and then singing in the choir on Sundays. Getting involved, doing something for the Lord. Hallelujah. Everybody bow your heads. Well, before that, I think 2 more points, isn't it? Paul practiced the lay ministry so that others would follow his example. Hallelujah. And then finally, lay pastors and volunteers can be just as fruitful as full-time ministers. I know you don't think so, but that is the reality. Hallelujah. That just as you are, you can also be fruitful.
Amen.
Say amen.
Amen.
If you give yourself to it, if you believe it, you will also be fruitful.
Hallelujah.
By the grace of God. Amen.
Amen.
I want you to bow your heads, everybody, now. And I want you to raise up one hand to the Lord and say, Lord, I am offering myself today for your service. I want to be like Daniel. I want to be like Daniel. I want to be like Paul. I want to be the type that is not just sold to what I am calling a vocation or a career, but I want to be one of those people that you can use both here and there. I want to be one of those people that you can use, that in spite of my secular pursuits, that you would use me also in your house. That you would make me significant in my contribution to your work in the name of Jesus. That you would use me, Lord. I want to be like Daniel. I want people to say that unless we find a fault with him concerning his relationship with God, you can't find a fault. I want people to see me, even from a distance. I want people to see a child of God in me. I want people to see a worker for God in me. I want people to see. I want to be an example of the layman. A good example, like Paul was a good example and Daniel was a good example. I want to be that person in the name of Jesus. That I will preach, I will teach, I will share the word of God with people. I would pray with people. I would visit people. I would counsel people. Even though I'm a computer scientist, I will still be able to do these things. Because it's not only pastors that God has ordained to do such things. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing. Oh, yes, Lord. Father, we thank you so much for this morning and thank you for the opportunity. Thank you for the word of God and the understanding you have given us today. To know that no matter what vocation we have, no matter what we studied in school, no matter what we are doing for a living, it need not set aside the opportunity to be close to you. And to be involved deeply with the service of the house of God, with helping and pushing and promoting the cause of Christ. That after you have paid such a high price to save the world, that you can count on us, accountants, doctors, nurses, drivers, computer scientists, programmers, musicians, students, people from all walks of life, you can count on us, including people who have no jobs, that you can count on us, military people, Lord, and others, that you can count on us, that if you can use any of us, Lord, you can bring us close to yourself. Use us for your glory. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing in Jesus' name. Now, as we close the service today, I want to give you an opportunity. If you're here today and you're saying, Pastor, pray with me, please, because I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to start a new walk with God. I want to start a new relationship with God today. If that is on your heart, if that is you, I want to pray with you. And all I ask is just raise up your right hand right where you are and I'm going to pray with you. You're saying, I want my sins to be forgiven. I want to be saved. I want to be a child of God. I want the blood of Jesus to wash me and to cleanse me. Raise up your right hand and I'll pray with you. Is there anybody here like that today? Saying, Pastor, pray with me because I want to start that new walk with God today. I want to get back to God. I want to start a new relationship with Him. Is there anyone here like that today? All right. Why don't we all just say this prayer together then? Say, Lord Jesus. Everybody say, Lord Jesus. Thank you for dying for me.
Thank you for dying for me.
I believe with my heart that you are Lord. And I confess with my mouth. God raised you from the dead. Come into my heart, Jesus. Forgive my sins. Let your blood wash me, Lord. And make me a child of God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Say thank you, Jesus, for hearing my prayer.